May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, your sight, O Lord, my strength, my Redeemer. This is from Revelation 5. In the beginning of chapter 4, let's read a few verses. It said, in the midst of these things, which is a better translation, I think, than after these things. In the midst of these things, human chaos, and we're certainly beginning to see that played out. In the midst of these things, I looked, and behold, a door was standing open in heaven. And the first voice, which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place in the midst of these things. I think that that's maybe one of the most important verses in the Bible about this open door inviting us in the midst of chaos to come up there and get God's perspective about what must take place instead of just giving everybody else's opinion. Immediately I saw in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he describes the one sitting on the throne. The one sitting on the throne is Jesus. Chapter 5, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed with the seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the book and look into it. And I began to weep greatly, because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. That's one of two times in the book of Revelation where Jesus is referred to as the Lion of Judah. The way people create banners and sing songs, you would think it would be 50 times. But the truth is, over 20 to 30 times, the term lamb is used. And it's the word little lamb. And one of the elders said, stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah and the root of Jesse is overcome. It says to open the book of the seven seal. And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, the seven horns and seven eyes, which were the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and he took it out of the hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each one a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals, for thou who was slain, and didst purchase for God with thy blood from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and thou hast made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. And I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and living creatures, and the elders, and the numbers of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. And they sang with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive power, riches, wisdom, might, and honor, glory, and blessing. And they fell down before him and worshiped. You know, the question was, to begin that chapter, who's worthy to open up this book and read human history? And the Lion of Judah, which is Jesus, of course, but the Lion of Judah didn't open the book. It was the little lamb that had been slaughtered who was worthy to open the book. That was the question. Who's worthy to open the book? And the reason that Jesus was worthy was because he had taken on our humanity. When he stepped out of eternity into time and he clothed himself in our humanity, it wasn't pristine humanity. It was our broken humanity. And he carried our broken humanity in his incarnation and in his finished work on the cross. He took all of the pain, all the brokenness, all the yucky stuff, all the rebellion against God, and crucified it. And then raised us up in union with him as a new creation. And the scripture says that we are seated in the heavenly places with Christ. So here's what you need to understand. Are there those times when the Lion of Judah shows up? Yes, but we're also in union with the one who's referred to the most as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. There's a chapter, in chapter 13, it talks about the song of Moses, and then it quotes some places from the Old Testament, Moses' song, and then it talks about the song of the Lamb. And most people think, and I believe it for sure, that song of the Lamb is the Song of Solomon. Because the song of the Lamb would certainly be the best song ever written, right? The Song of Solomon starts off by saying, the Song of Solomon. It's the Song of Solomon. And so this love song, the Book of Solomon, just about God's grace. And though we're dark at times, he loves us fiercely and all these things. How he never gives up, even though the Shalomite fails. That's the Song of the Lamb. That's the heart of the Now, all that is to say this. And there's a bunch we can say about it. Today, we'll say this. And we'll talk about the little lamb a lot this week. But you're seated in the heavenly places in union with a lamb, a little lamb. Because unless you become like a little child, you will not be able to apprehend the kingdom of heaven. He doesn't identify himself as a grown lamb, but as a little child, a little lamb. Jesus was the most childlike person who ever lived. He was the most surrendered who ever lived. His meat was to do the will of the Father. One of the things that God's been doing in my life in this season of the Lord offering us an experience of more is that there are things we have to let go of. And it's the little lamb that teaches us to let go. It's not this condemning, scary God with a billy club in his hand. It's the one who paid a price that I might have life and have it more abundant. And it's the lamb that teaches us. We sit on the throne with the lamb. We rule with the heart of the lamb. People think authority means you have to always act like the Lion of Judah. But again, the vast majority of the time, he's on the throne, we see, as the lamb, who alone can read human history, because he's so totally identified with human history. A couple of things. Control, especially for leaders, is one of the hardest things in the world to let go of. Because if you're a leader, even in your own home, you want to see this happen from here to here. And the tendency is to step in and try to control everything so it'll work out that way. But you have to understand Jesus rules as a little lamb, totally identifying with a slaughtered heart, identifying with the person or persons that we want to see transformed and changed. Will God use us? He said, come up here and I'll show you what must take place, because he wants us to play a part in that. Through our prayers, through our actions and our words, but it's the actions and the words of a little lamb. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the whole world. You want to inherit that thing, that situation, that person? You inherit God's promises there? Blessed are the meek. And so losing control is so important. It's been one of the strangest trips in my life. In all the years, the things I've had to trust the Lord with, and then in recent years, I guess in the natural would be the toughest time of my life. And it's just been grace to trust him, you know? Just being surrounded by grace. But there's a situation, I've referred to it, that's just, God's used it to just put to death something from a place I never thought would come from. And that is having a puppy in my home. And I know that sounds silly, but because my older dog never has liked other dogs, there's just always this, you never know. There's just these moments of, and sometimes they can seem kind of frightening. You don't know what he's going to do. And so I've been through all kinds of stuff in my heart. Do I put Henry down? Henry's the best friend I've ever had. I can't put Henry down. I'm asking God for wisdom and how to deal with it. And the Lord just keeps talking to me about just trusting him. Just surrender the consequences. Quit trying to control. I actually had somebody, my oldest son, we were talking about it the other day. I said, Woody, I don't understand all the stuff I've been through. And this has been so hard. And he said, Dad, you have to, I mean, there are things that you do, you know, use wisdom, but then at some point, you're scared that this little dog's going to get hurt. And at some point, you just got to trust God with that. You can't control that. And I can't tell you how hard that's been, that battle. But I also can't tell you how grateful I am. So I know there's something that God's trying to get to me in, and using something so silly. So I say this to you, one, to give an example of the kind of things that God's doing, but also to tell you about my stuff. Because this is going to be a time in our lives where God's going to lovingly, like a lamb that was slain, slaughtered for you, so he's got great tenderness. He totally identifies with your brokenness. He's going to speak to you into a place of greater surrender, because there's nothing more surrendered, nothing more yielded than the little lamb. So much so that he went to the cross and didn't open his mouth when he was slain. We're in union with Christ, and there's no greater place of surrender than to be in union with the heart of the lamb who was slaughtered. I was coming out of the dog store. We were coming out of we had to take Maul to the vet. We thought she broke her leg. Took her to the vet. We came out, and there was this like pit bulldog with one of those cones on his head. Not because there was something wrong with his head, but to try to keep him from hurting people. you know, really a big guy. He had a sleeveless shirt, really big eye. And then I thought, and it came out, and that dog tried to go after us, tried to go after the little puppy, kept going after us. I thought, what is the point? Like, we're just trying to be so strong in life. We're trying to be so tough. We want to be scary because we're scared. God wants us to be in union with the heart of the Lamb. And when we are, then we rule. Does that make sense? We rule from a resting position in union with the heart of the Lamb. And here's the other thing. Jesus read the book about people's story. If you want to read people's story, if you want to be worthy to speak into people's story, then you have to have the heart of a little lamb. It's water. You're not speaking down to them. You're speaking up to them. And then you can impact their life. Only a surrendered heart can do that. And then God sets you free from false expectations. One of the things the Lord's been doing in my life is this whole thing about control. I didn't even know it was there like that, using a puppy of all things after all the stuff. But also just to die to expectations and stop and looking up towards people with the heart of a slaughtered lamb who totally identifies with people and their differences, their own fallenness. Because you see, then I'm able to read their story. Then I'm able to participate in surrendered gentleness to a reorientation of their story. You hear me? It's part of the thing that God's doing. We have relationships with all kinds of people. Have you approached those relationships as a roaring lion of Judah or as a slaughtered little lamb that loves them so much, so identifies with their story? Because I've taken on my own life. I've done those things in my own life. But I look up to them and are able to speak in their life instead of looking down to them. See, because then what they hear is, you don't understand. You ever heard that? You don't understand. Only people who look up, the ones that frustrate us the most, project the kind of tenderness and understanding that carries the authority to actually speak in their lives. It's the Jesus way. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.